This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, 10th caller right out the top wins a great gift certificate, $25 total for the Sorgals out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. And if you want to talk to Doug, we want to get some calls on early. Doug's got a guest coming up in the next segment. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. Here he is, DougOster.com, the organic gardener, to begin this week's show for this October the 4th. Good morning, Doug Oster on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing good. I like that forecast there. Some more rain coming. We can use it, as always. And we do have a special guest this morning. After the first break, Stephen Biggs, author of Growing Figs in Cold Climates, will explain the definitive way to be able to actually harvest figs. I could use that information since the figs on my tree are probably the size of a marble. They're not going to make it. We'll be giving away a copy of his book. Also, then, Luke Warner from the Davy Tree Expert Company is here with some important information about the spotted lanternfly. They've spotted more spotted lanternfly out there, and he's been working with local authorities to deal with it. But he's also talking about how to get trees ready for winter. And I'll be giving away a Trees Are the Answer t-shirt from the Davy Tree Expert Company. And as Rob said, we're going to try and get to the phones early. Is anybody there, Rob?
Not yet, but they're all calling in for the Sorgals gift certificate. You also, as you mentioned, Davy Tree coming up. You know, I was talking earlier to Mary Hours, KDKA-TV, and we were talking about the rain. And I said, does the weather have anything to do with the leaves changing color? And she said, absolutely. So this is a time of year, if you want to do a little leaf peeping, this is the peak season right now.
Yeah, just come to my house because everything's dried out, and it's that's what the trees do. If it dries out, they start to color up quick, and we are getting color quick. But I've been working out in the garden planting lots of cool weather crops. I've got a video coming out pretty soon here, and when we get this change in the weather, this is when we'll probably be cleaning up our tomatoes, our peppers, getting that stuff out. Mine. It's still in the garden. I still have tomato plants in there, but there aren't many tomatoes on there. But I want to leave them there as long as possible. I want them on the vine as long as possible. And when we get to a point where I know I'm going to get a frost, I'll pull all those tomatoes off. And you've heard me talk about this trick before. And I'll just put them in a bag with an apple. I'll split them up as far as where they are for ripening. And if they have a little blush on them, I'll put them in one bag. And then if they're just barely making the transition, I'll put them in another bag. But that apple makes this ethylene gas that's supposed to help them ripen. And I've always done it that way, and it's worked for me. Back in the day, I used to wrap them individually. Now I just put the tomatoes into the bag with the apple, and we're good to go. And you can get tomatoes to last all the way through Thanksgiving sometimes, and even later, depending on the variety. I find that those purple, or sometimes they call them black tomatoes, when they're real meaty, those are the ones that last the longest in that bag. You know, you have to keep looking in that bag every few days, because sometimes they'll they'll rot. Sometimes they won't change. If they're just the pure green tomato on there, then they're kind of hard and have not made that first transition to just changing color a little bit, they won't ripen up. And those are great candidates for fried green tomatoes, which are one of the wonderful treats of the end of the season. My peppers are still out there, but pretty soon we'll be pulling all that. And I am planting already lettuce and kale, cilantro. I found a 6-inch pot filled with cilantro. There must have been 25 plants in there. I'm going to split those up, and everything gets some protection this time of the year. And the cheapest way to do it is just get a 3-mil thick drop cloth from the hardware store, and they sell little 11-gauge wire hoops, not hoops, but wires that you turn into hoops at the hardware store that are inexpensive. And you just make a little outdoor greenhouse and put in some lettuce. The lettuce can go without protection for quite a while, but that protection, that little greenhouse, will make them grow a lot quicker as we get these cool nights. And pansies, too. I see pansies out there. I have not put any mums in yet. And if you are going to be choosing mums, try and find them so they're not all bloomed out already. They'll last a lot longer for you. And fall is an important time to plant. You know, we'll talk with Luke from Davy Tree about planting right now and some of his favorites. But trees, shrubs, perennials, and, you know, bulbs. I'm always talking about planting bulbs. And I thought bulb planting was going away, but Brent and Becky's Bulbs, I saw they posted something. They had to shut down for like a week during prime season here to restock and fill all the orders that were already being sent in. So just like in the spring when we went crazy for gardening, it looks like it's still continuing here in the fall. Next week I'll give another set of those bulb augers away. John won the auger last week, the Power Planter gift pack, starter pack. And if you are going to plant bulbs, use one of those augers. It'll make your life a lot easier. It's just a big, giant drill bit. And it's just an easy way to plant. It makes planting fun. It shouldn't be a pain. That tool that you use just your hand where you kind of spin it back and forth, that's a hard way to plant bulbs. And so this is planting season, and have some fun doing it. The work that you put in right now really pays off next year. I've got shrubs to plant. I've got trees to plant. I'm going to have lots of bulbs to plant. I saw the nurseries have their bulbs in stock, and there's some beautiful ones out there. If you can find snowdrops, that's one of my favorite early bloomers, and just little white flowers. First thing, sometimes we'll have a thaw in January, you'll get a few blooms out of them. But I love those early blooms. It just starts off, winter becomes spring for me when those things bloom. And it's just great. So, Rob, how we doing out there?
We're ready to rock and roll. Let's get a couple of calls before the break. And our guest, let's say hi to Mary Ann. Hey, Mary Ann, good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Doug, I just wondered if you could ask the fig man when he comes. Like if you get, you know how fig trees send up shoots in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
A friend had told me once if you actually plant those shoots in the fall and bury them, and of course mark where you put them so you know where to pull them up, they'll start to put roots down now instead of planting the shoots in the spring. So I just wondered, you know, if you have an opinion or...
Yeah, we'll talk about that, but that sounds like a great plan. That's a good way to do it. We know that fall is conducive to root growth as opposed to top growth, so I think you'd be good doing that. But we'll talk to Steve about that and see what he has to say.
All right, let's say hi to Kay in the North Hills for Doug Oster. Hey, Kay, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Doug, I have the 3945 tomato seeds ready to send you, but I lost my paper that you gave me, and could you please give me the address?
Sure. If anybody out there has either the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top tomato seeds or the ones found on the battlefield of World War II, the 3945s, you just send them to Doug Oster, and it's Post Office Box 11013, Pittsburgh, PA, 15237. That's the Ross Post Office, 15237. Okay. And send the seeds back. I've been getting lots of seeds back, which is cool. And then when I get them all together in the winter, February, I'll put the offer out there again. If you'd like to try the 3945s or the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomatoes, we just send them for free. You can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. I'll send them right back to you.
All right, let's take one more call before we get Stephen Biggs on the program. Real quick, Kathy Delmont. Kathy, welcome to News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Hey, Doug. How you doing? So this is what I got. My brother lives in Harrison City. He has a very productive garden, outdoor garden. And he has great soil. He's been there for 10 years. Immense soil. He's perfect. He has jalapeno plants, jalapeno pepper plants, and he's addicted to these peppers. And he wants to bring them inside, grow them in the winter in his basement with a grow light. He has nowhere else to put them in the house. So right now they're in 2-3 gallon buckets, and they're not doing too good in his basement. He brought some in. First he, like, gradually brought them in. What should he do to get these things going?
That going outside to inside, the plant's always going to struggle with that. But as long as he has bright light and he has it running at least 18 hours on a timer, those plants will come back, but it's going to have to be super bright. You know, these plants are big. And one little trick real quick, surround that area with something shiny like aluminum foil. It's probably too big for that, but like shiny mylar or something like that. You'll use the existing light you have, and it'll reflect, and you'll have more light. You need lots of light for those peppers. All right?
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stephen Biggs next. Congratulations to Sandy and Harmony, the winner of that gift certificate to Sorgles. Yeah, yes, he is with a very special guest. Isn't that right, Doug?
Oh, I'm so excited. Stephen Biggs is on the phone. He is the author of Grow Figs in Cold Climates and Grow Figs Where You Think You Can't. Lives in Toronto. I went up and visited him last year. Steve, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm fine, thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me on the show.
I want to remind the audience, he speaks Canadian, so you might not be able to understand him, but we'll do our best. Tell me about the book, Grow Figs in Cold Climates. How did that come about?
Well, I wrote my first fig book in 2012, and after I wrote that, Doug, I started getting questions from people all over the place, Europe, United States, Canada, and I saved all of those questions. And one day I was going through my email fig inbox and I saw all these questions and I thought, you know, those belong in a book because I've got all these different voices, all these people trying different things in different places. So that's how the book came about.
So we talked earlier. I wrote a story about Stephen and your family put you on a fig diet. Is that right?
They sure did. I was up to over 50 fig varieties, Doug. And what happened is after I wrote my first book, people started getting in touch saying, hey, can we trade varieties? I'll send you cuttings of such and such if you send me a cutting. And so it kind of got out of hand. And I had over 50 fig plants. The garage was so full with fig plants in the winter that nothing else could go in there. So the family said, okay, Dad, you got to cut back a little bit and have fewer fig plants. So I'm down to maybe 20, 25 varieties now.
Some growing outside in the garden. Some growing in containers. How do you store those container figs, and how do you know the timing? That for me, it's the timing. When do those container figs go into dormancy?
Well, the fall is actually pretty easy when they go into dormancy because I just let the frost hit them.
All right.
And when the frost hits those potted figs, they'll just start dropping their leaves and go dormant. And I should say that any figs that are left on there that didn't ripen, pick them off because they will not ripen in the next year. So I leave mine out here in Toronto to about November, and we're a zone colder than you are there in Pittsburgh, I think. We're a zone 5.
Right.
And I leave them out into November. They're good and dormant. And, you know, once they're dormant, they can take a light freeze. They're just fine. And then I start moving them indoors in November into the garage. And my garage is insulated, so I let it freeze in there, but I don't let it get below about 23 Fahrenheit, and that's just a rough guide. They can go colder than that very often, but you don't want to take a risk. You go to all this trouble to grow a fig tree, don't let it get too cold.
And then for those outdoor trees, everybody has a different way to treat them in the winter. But again, being in a zone colder than us, how are you doing it? And then still picking figs. How do you get that tree ready for the winter?
Well, so the big thing is the soil temperature never fluctuates as much as and as quickly as the air temperature. So if you can get that plant down to the ground level and mulch it, then it's far more protected. So I do a lot of straw bale gardening. I've got a lot of straw bales around. And what I do is I loosen the soil on one side of that fig tree and I tip the whole thing right over. I lay it flat against the ground. And then I pile a straw bale or two over top to cover it, and that insulates it nicely. It's like a little blanket over top for the winter, and that then it comes out nicely in the spring.
So the straw, is it just kind of like you take the bales and like unclip them and put it that way, or do you actually stack the bales on top of the tree?
I try to make it about one bale thick over top of the tree. So I'll pile two or three bales, depending on the size of the tree. And then if there's any fig sticking out at the side of the bale, I'll just throw some loose straw on there as well. So I do a bit of both, some whole bales and some loose. And I should
and now,
say that I've seen
the
people
million-dollar
do...
question.
Yeah?
Tell me about those container plants and something you told me about called Dance of the Figs.
Oh, the Dance of the Figs is every spring... I'll see nice weather coming and I'll think I'm getting those figs outside, and I'll start moving my potted figs outside onto the driveway, and then we'll get a frost warning. And if your figs have started to bud up, if the buds have started to swell, sometimes you even get little figs before the leaves come out, then you can't leave them out in the frost anymore because the frost will kill those tender young buds. So then I rush them all back into the garage. And I think all the neighbors think I'm crazy because then I'll bring them all back out when we get nice days again. And sometimes this goes on 2, 3, 4 times. So that's the Dance of the Figs. But in the spring, the key message is you want to protect any tender young leaf or figs from that frost.
All right, we got about a minute for the tree. Tell me when you bring that tree up.
When I bring it outside?
No,
when
the
I tree
is growing
the tree
ground,
up.
When do you get it up? Oh,
yeah, that's a good point, because if you stand up, if you've got that fig dormant laying flat to the ground and you stand it up too soon, sometimes you might get cold spring winds that'll burn off any buds that start to grow. And what I do is I just, after I uncover take the straw off, I'll wait a little bit before standing it up until I'm really in the clear. There's no more frost. Then I'll stand it up. And let it grow standing up for the summer.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for being part of the show. We are giving away a copy of Stephen's book, and go to stephenbiggs.ca to find out everything you need to know about figs. He's got a great site there. And go to dougoster.com to win that book. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Doug.
Coming up, Talking Trees with Davey Trees. Yeah, we'll get to Doug, Davey Tree Talking Tree with Luke in just a couple of moments. But let me just remind you right now, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you'll win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's.
We're joined by Luke Warner from the Davey Tree Expert Company. And Luke, I want to start off right off the bat. Mrs. Know-It-All called me a couple of days ago and told me they have another sighting of spotted lanternfly. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, so we have a couple locations within our area. So there, it is in Allegheny County and Beaver County. We've seen it around. There's a location in Pitcairn and a location in Conway. So we haven't seen it on any residential properties in the North Hills, but I know in the South Hills, unfortunately, they have seen it on some residential properties. So it's for those that don't know about it, it's an invasive insect, first found in Pennsylvania 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, native to Asia, and it feeds on a lot of our native plants. It's first, it enjoys, or it likes to feed on Ailanthus or Tree of Heaven the most, which is an invasive species, but it also really likes, black walnut. It likes hops. It likes grapevines. And if you start, messing with Pennsylvania's hops and grapevines, you're going to make quite a few people upset.
I'm upset. Yeah, everyone's upset. I get messages almost every day, people looking at a pest that's not spotted lanternfly and wondering if it is a spotted lanternfly. At this point, though, it's not an infestation. We've seen it, but we're seeing a little bit more of it. How long will this go? Will that spotted lanternfly be done for the season with frost, you think?
The adults will, but the eggs will certainly overwinter. You know, their egg masses look a lot like, you remember, like a gypsy moth, kind of, it lays its eggs and it puts, the females put a coating or covering on those eggs that help it overwinter. Right when they put it on, and this time of year, it's very white. I was actually observing a female laying eggs and covering it in Conway just this week. But it's very bright and white, you know, and then when that dries, it'll crack, and it looks a lot like bark. So, you know, if you wait a long time to go see it and go try to inspect it, you're going to probably have a difficult time identifying it. It's not hard to identify the insect. It's very unique, and, you know, it is a pretty insect if you do, you know, enjoy looking at them. But it has some bright colors, and it's always nice to see. But this time of year, it's... if you're looking for it, you know, try to find, learn how to identify ailanthus trees or tree of heaven. They're usually always on the trunks of those trees if they're in the area, but they're really going to feed on, you know, at this time of year, they'll feed on anything that has, you know, a lot of very sugary sap. So maple, river birch, sycamore, willow, staghorn sumac, you know, those are all plants that it will feed on.
Every time you list another plant, I get sadder and sadder. I think this is going to be something we'll be talking about a lot next year, too. Let's move on to something more fun. Getting ready for winter, what should we be doing with our trees? I know it's been dry. Does that play into this?
Yeah. I mean, this year has been you know, quite unique, but we're starting to get some more moisture now. It's a great time to be planting trees. So, obviously, dormant season is you know, a perfect time. Those trees go dormant. You know, you can dig your hole, you put the tree in the hole, mulch it. You know, that tree wakes up in the spring. It's just the perfect transition from nursery stock to yard that you can have. And there's no real, you know, too late to plant type thing. If you can dig the hole, you can really plant that tree. It's a great time to fertilize your plants. You know, give them a little bit extra nutrients right now. If you give them a slow release, give them a little bit right now that they can use up. But more importantly, with a slow release, it's going to stay in that soil, stay around the root system, and come spring, you know, it's going to have, you know, just all the nutrients it needs as it's taking right there when it's ready to go.
If I do plant a tree right now, what should the watering be?
That's always tough because it's an as needed. You know, if we're getting rain, you know, then you're not going to be able to or not going to need to water as much, but you know, every day once the tree goes in, you know, you need to check the soil. So you want to make sure it's moist down into the root ball. I have a really long screwdriver in my house, and I use that as kind of my my gauge if I need to water a tree or not. You know, when you plant it, that root ball is right underneath the soil. So, you know, on some smaller plants, maybe 6 to 8 inches is into that center the root ball. So I just want to make sure I can get down that far at least, and you know, make sure it's watered down the whole way through. Horticultural oils, you know, looking for egg masses on some of the plants and taking care of those. That's a good time to get rid of them before, you know, you're going into spring. Pruning deadwood out of the trees, pruning your diseased and dying limbs. You can do that now, and you can do that all through the winter.
What was your season like with all this hot and dry? What were you seeing out there? Anything unusual?
It was pretty difficult, you know, especially with lawns and newly planted trees. So it seemed like a lot of newly planted trees in the spring that just weren't taken care of to what the property owners thought they needed to do. And it was just, I think it was really a lack of watering on most of them. A lot of homeowners this year that maybe we're new to gardening or just got a new house and put in a tree or two. Really didn't know or didn't expect how much watering was going to be necessary. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those trees just never had a chance to, you know, really establish and and grow its roots, because, you know, it just got so hot and dry that if you weren't consistent on your watering and watering deep and watering frequently, they didn't establish at that site. And, you know, ultimately a lot of the trees are going to be replaced, which is unfortunate. But
it was
a difficult year.
I picked the wrong year to put in a new lawn, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I was looking
up at an oak tree that I have here, a big old oak tree, and about in the middle where somebody had cut a branch off 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing mushrooms growing up there. It's like 20 feet up, and it's that orange shelf mushroom, chicken of the woods.
Yeah.
What should I do? Do I have to bring one of you guys out to take a look at it right off the bat?
You should get a ladder and go up there and cut it off and cook it up. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of fungi that can grow.
I did not go above the first story, so it's too high.
Yeah. There's different fungi that grows on trees, and you know, a lot of it is like benign and not harmful, and a lot of them are, you know, a fruiting indicator of a more harmful or a more detrimental problem, like root rot growing on. You know, sulfur shelf or chicken of the woods is something that, yes, it's indicative of decay. All most mushrooms are, but that's not one like Ganoderma or Dryadus root rot that you need to then, you know, remove immediately. So that's not something it's a dramatic red flag, but it's definitely something you want to keep your eye out and watch how that tree progresses. You know, I'm really
about
when I see fungi right at the base of the tree, because it's next to the roots and that's its structural integrity.
We got about a minute and we're talking about planting trees. I always like to ask the certified arborist from the Davy Tree Expert Company about some of their favorite varieties to plant.
Yeah, this is a really hard question. It always is. But we're close to fall. So if I was looking to bring in some more fall color into my landscape, if I was looking at a shade tree, probably look at the black gum. If I was looking for something more, you know, on the smaller side of trees, I'd look at a service berry or American hornbeam. You know,
that's awesome. I put in a service berry and a hornbeam last year.
Oh, perfect.
I'm on the right track, Luke. You hang with us here. We probably have some tree questions when we come back. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. Remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. And you can win a T-shirt from Davey which says, trees are the answer, by just going to DougOster.com and signing up there.
All right, listen, all of our lines are open. If you have a question for Doug or Luke, call us now, 866-391-1020. Next hour, chicken recipes with Joe and Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour. Good morning. Ah, yes, he is with Luke Warner, Davy Tree, and we've got Joanne in Whitehall. She wants to talk to the gentleman today. Final few minutes of this week's edition of The Organic Gardener on KDKA. Hey, Joanne, how are you? What can we do for you?
I have a lot of those midnight blue, I can't think of the name now, I was just 93, so forgive me for that. They come up in the spring and rebloom, and I have little holes all over them this year for the first time. What's eating them?
Huh. What?
Talking about, the midnight blue?
No, we're going to need to figure out what the plant is. So midnight blue, tell me a little bit about when it comes up and when it blooms.
In the springtime. I'm sorry. I'll call you back next week.
All right, Joanne. Sorry about that. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Give us a call next week. So, Luke, let's talk a little bit more about invasives. Now, we've seen all sorts of different invasives come through in the last 10, 15 years. Usually, after a few years, nature kind of gets it balanced. Do we have any indication on the spotted lanternfly what's going to happen, or we would just be guessing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, unfortunately, that's going to happen. The kind of our native insects that are, you know, would be a biological control. They've seen, you know, some spiders, praying mantis, eating them. But they just reproduce so fast that, you know, the natural predators really can't keep up. But if I could tell, you know, anybody anything, it's just learn to identify the spotted lanternfly in the ailanthus tree. You know, the ailanthus, they don't bite, they don't harm you. So you can kill them, you can smash them, do them however you like. That will certainly help. And if you're worried about some trees or for monitoring, you can always put the, you know, the sticky tape, put a band of them on, you know, particular trees to trap the nymphs, you know, on your property. So,
so just a way to why to trees monitor. For you? What interested you about trees to do this for a living?
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I loved the outdoors, and I took a class at Butler County Community College. I had my park and recreation. I got my associates there and took a forestry 101 class, and it was kind of the first time I, you know, enjoyed going to class or going to school. So, you know, I looked into what opportunities I had around here and ended up at West Virginia University, and just I really enjoy the outdoors. I love to hunt and fish. And if I can save a tree versus removing one, you know, I'd love to do that. So everybody deserves to plant trees.
Let's talk a little bit real quick. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it all the time, but we have to reiterate proper mulching, not volcano mulching.
No, it's you know, it's the number one problem. We see it every property, but when you plant a tree or when you have a tree in your front yard or wherever, find the root flares. So find where that trunk transitions into the ground, flares outward. That is the most important part of the tree there. That's what you want to see. That needs to be visible and exposed to the air. Your mulch should go up to the tree. And you need to see those root flares. You do not want it piled up and over the root flares. You do not want it piled around the stem. Your tree shouldn't look like a straw that's just stuck in the ground. There's just so many problems that arise from over mulching, and it's unfortunate that, you know, oftentimes they don't always show their effects until 10 or 15 years down the road. And at that point, the tree, you know, has to be removed and you have to start over. So, you know, after 15 years, you should be looking at a tree in your front yard and happy that it's there and happy that it's a beautiful tree, and not, you know, disappointed that the top's dying out of it. It has limited growth. And then, you know, somebody comes and tells you it ultimately, you know, should be removed and replaced.
I can't understand how it started. I guess one guy who didn't know what he was doing did it and it caught on, because people see that. Even my own son, you know.
Yeah.
I spend countless hours explaining to people, please do not do that. That's the wrong way to do it. And I have no idea how it possibly could have started. The thing, when I'm planting a tree, I'm trying to keep that thing, like you said, you know, going good for as long as possible. Talk about the importance. We've got about a minute. Talk about the importance of knowing how big that tree is going to get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. I was just at a property the other day, and they had a dawn redwood about, I don't know, 20 inches from their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tree is just, it's going to get gigantic. The limbs are going to be, you know, that tree probably has a spread of 40 feet at least. You know, right plant, right place. Although you might like the texture, the color, and the look of a plant when you see it at the nursery, just look at the tag, look at the mature height and width, look at its sun requirements. You know,
right,
before you go to the nursery, look at your site and know how big it is and know what kind of sun it gets, and show up based off that.
All right, thanks, Luke. Appreciate it. We will talk to you soon, and always appreciate the great information. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, stay tuned. News at 8, then. It is Joe and Frank, then T.C. DeCoon's Cooking Hour. Chicken recipes, Rob Pratt Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.